Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there.
Hello there.
I'm Jake.
I'm Michael.
And this is the Imposter Syndrome Podcast. Woo! Yeah.
We're back.
We're back-ish. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the story so far with My Hero Academia last month.
Yeah, that's not getting finished.
It's not getting finished. We were like, there's not enough content. So
yeah, it was only like two more things.
So it wouldn't have been ideal. So when My Hero gets to a point where we feel like we can have another episode, maybe we'll go into that again.
Yeah, and as you can see, we're a little different today. We're a little more static.
Yes, we're a little more static. That is because we have a special guest in the studio today. Yeah, you want to introduce him, Michael?
You've heard him before on the Halloween Spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
With his insight into movies.
Movies.
His unparalleled wisdom.
Wisdom.
In the art of filmmaking.
Filmmaking.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Aquilino.
Nick Aquilino.
Yeah.
This is the sound of my voice.
Thank you for being here, man.
No problem. I love being here.
Yeah, it was great to have you on the first time, and and that's one of my favorite podcasts. Still, we had a lot of great, insightful conversation, and today it's going to be cursed. So you wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. No insight whatsoever.
No,
we're kind of talking about some film things, but we're also talking about things that are not film.
That were not film.
I'm just going to add my opinion to everything because why not?
Yeah,
right? Man, fuck it. That's what we're here for, right?
Yeah, I probably haven't seen most of this stuff. So,
you know what that means? We get a fresh take.
Yeah, of garbage.
A live hot sewage reaction, might say.
You know what's great about America? Yeah. Uninformed opinions. And that's what I'm doing.
That should be on our posted cards.
Yeah.
Like when people are visiting, you know, like when people go somewhere like to Europe and they send you a postcard. It's like, you know.
Uninformed opinion.
Yeah, it's like here. Welcome to Kansas.
Expect nothing. Deliver less.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, what is the old saying about opinions? Everyone has one, and they all stink
because they're
assholes. Yeah, I fucked up the joke. I fucked it up.
It's okay.
Opinions are like assholes. That's how you're supposed to set up the joke. There's the setup, and then there's the punchline.
Take two.
How do we podcast?
Think I said, did you hear me? I just said punch line. I think I had like an M instead of an
N. Are you glitching?
You're glitching. We don't even have a VTuber model for him, and he's glitching. God damn it.
Yeah, so our VTuber models had to go to the ER because they're fucked. So.
Well, no. Literally, yours glitched out and like crashed Discord. And then my camera rig like cracked in half and fell apart.
Yeah.
The camera ring light I had, it just fell over.
Oh, it was only made for a week.
Yeah. That's what it was. I was like, oh, thank God the DSLR survived. I was like, oh my God.
SLR will survive. Yeah. Unless it like, if the lens hits something. But then you can always get a new lens. Lenses are expensive though.
I know.
They're more expensive than the camera.
I know. That's why we're like just getting like staring at like, oh shit.
Yeah. At least this is rug.
Like, yeah, thank God. We have.
But it was quite the spectacle, to say the least. So yeah. while
that must have been a good podcast.
Yes.
It happened during the podcast.
Oh, sure. I don't think your camera took its dive during it, did it?
No, it was right as we ended.
Yeah, so it made, you know, it stuck out right until the end.
Okay. It had its last show. Yeah. It was like, this is
I
the
can't
last
listen to my
one.
Hero anymore. It just dove off.
Speaking of the end, Michael, you seem to have some new Blizzard news.
Oh, buddy. Okay. So, Nick, my dear friend.
Oh, while we're here, by the way, this is our YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment. It really helps us out a lot. Thank you, self.
Yeah, check out these
shameless
videos.
Plug. Monster All right, let's syndrome. Go.
Yeah, like watch this Dark Souls video. That only has one view, please.
Yes, please, please, because I know I suck, but I will get better if you guys watch, like, and subscribe. So thank you very much.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
All right, now onto the curse content.
Yeah, because of the My Hero little event we had going in the past month.
Yes.
We missed some news that happened.
Sure.
So, Activision Blizzard, right? I don't know if you know.
I know Activision Blizzard, yes.
You do?
I know those companies. I played video games before.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just making sure.
I know. Just tell me.
So, they had a GDC conference, a game developers conference, where they were showing off some new tools. And they showed off this thing, the diversity space method. And basically what it is that it's like an algorithm chart for characters to see if they have enough ethnicity or if they have enough sexual orientation or gender diversity.
But like, how do they even determine that?
It's
based off design.
Is it a computer that makes this decision?
It is literally an algorithm.
But like, how is that? What does the algorithm determine? Like the player base that uses those characters,
or the character itself,
the aesthetic of the character.
Yeah, like if you see like on this little chart, like here's Zarya, right?
Sure.
She is leaning towards gender identity and has a big lean towards body type.
I don't even know what that means.
Like if they're big, if they're skinny, you know.
Yeah, but that is, it's not determining
body
either.
Body type is general.
It's just so I'm saying, like, what does that tell them?
It's like a checkbox system of, like, is our character, like, diverse enough?
This was made by MIT?
Yeah.
What a waste of grant money.
But here's the thing. Like, people were, like, looking at it, and it's like, you know what have also done this? A designer? An art director, you know, like the people.
Let's get rid of those guys and let's have computers coming up with everything because that's what we have in movies now.
Yeah. And so like they're like proudly like we have an algorithm doing our like character design now. And everyone's like, no.
Which no one asked for whatsoever.
Yeah. So like they're bringing this to Overwatch 2 and they're bringing this to the next Call of Duty game.
How much you want to bet that nothing will change? That each character will look specifically just like they would in their universe, and no one will think anything about this at all.
It just became really funny because everyone will start memeing. It's like, so what if we put like a JoJo character in? What would happen? You know, and the Overwatch team had to come in and be like, we didn't have anything to do with this. We designed our characters, please.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It just seems like. It's just stupid.
It is stupid.
It's like it's just weird.
And point. I just don't see
political BS. Yeah.
Well, it's made by suits who want to like streamline of like, do we have enough like diversity?
Yeah. I don't know why they still think that matters. Like people are getting kind of sick of like, because like it only matters if it's genuine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you're just trying to check a box, like. People check up a box on that. A list. Mm-hmm. It's so transparent because it's not about that. That's just an aspect of one's identity. Like, it's not the full picture. And then they think that them saying that they're diverse is an excuse to have a shit story or have shit play. But hey, but at least we're diverse.
Hey, you know, at least they're fucking gay. Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, seriously.
No.
It's fucking crazy.
It's literally labeling and what's the word? Stereotyping. Mm. And then that becomes a thing within itself. It's just really, I don't know, it's just really weird when like I get the, you know, push for diversity makes so much sense What doesn't make sense is having a computer come up with it. And what also doesn't make sense is, like, I just don't understand the facetiousness. Like, you could just see right through it. It's just like, we're doing this to look good.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's what I'm saying. And it's just like, I don't understand, like, to what extent do you have to go? It's like, everyone's trying to, like, level up on their virtue stats, like, you know, against each other. It's just like, look at this dude. She has pink hair, and she's non-binary, and she has one leg, and she was a veteran. You know, it's just like, it's just like, bruh, it's just relax.
Let's give to people who need help. Like, it's as simple as that. Yeah. Why do we have to specify every single thing about every single person?
Well, it's even like, I don't remember when that Chinese stuff happened with, Hong Kong, right? Where Blizzard had that, like, May color stuff, and then China got pissed, and they're like, oh, sorry.
Well,
and
they also had one of their pro players get banned because they support Thailand.
Yeah, Taiwan. It's like, 1 minute, you can't do both. Like, you can't support communist, you know, oppression in China, and then fucking be like diversity and freedom of expression.
Well, it's like the Disney thing of like, man, Pride Month, but get rid of the Owl House.
But it's just like, it's just so transparent. Like, it's all about cash flow.
It's about making everybody happy, but vicariously not taking a stand. Because if you really were taking a stand, like the Disney thing, for example, if you were really taking a stand, you would say, you know what? We're not pulling this, or we're not changing this for your country.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you know what I mean? For example, like in comics, like, not to get off topic, Michael, I'm sorry. I know you like to rag on Blizzard. We'll get back. But like in comics recently, like, and especially in the last couple of years, like, they've really focused on this very, like, very woke agenda type thing where, like, they want to just, like, be super inclusive, and like that's what their main focus is, and like they don't care about how it's done, just that they're doing it. Like, there's never, like, I have no problems with it if it was like set up, foreshadowed, or like new characters to have those, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even just in general, like they stop focusing so much on the story, and it's a disservice to them. And like the Japanese with manga, they don't give a fuck. Like, they people bitch at them about their stories constantly, you know what I mean? About something, oh, it's too fan servicey, oh, this is offensive, oh, blah blah blah. They don't give a shit. And you know what? The last top like 20 comics sold in the whole year were all manga, because instead of American comics in America, because people don't care. They're trying to get like Twitter like likes and Twitter praise, but they're not actually dealing with the actual people who are buying the books, for example. It's kind of similar to this. Like, they just want to seem like very, like, you know, woke, for lack of a better term, and like, and virtuous, when like you can be those things and shut the fuck up at the same time.
Well, there's a weird thing, I think, of it's the term virtue signaling, right?
Like, yeah.
Where you act a certain way on social media.
You don't really feel that way. Or
you don't really feel that way. Or I feel like there's like a generation of people out there now who are just like, they want to look good, but they don't necessarily feel that way. And it's really fucking weird, in my opinion. Like, there are these videos out there which are still helpful, but I kind of hate them. They're on TikTok. And there are these videos of, like, a guy will come up to a homeless guy and give him, like, $1,000. And he's never anonymous. They're always showing who the person is, who's giving them the money, telling them all about this person's life. Like, you're showing a homeless person, so you're kind of embarrassing him, because you're putting him on social media, and you're giving him all this money, and then you're saying, I did this for this person. And I guess you can technically go, oh, it could inspire other people to do it. But at the same time, I'm like, you're taking credit and you're looking so virtuous in front of all these people. Real kindness is doing that and not posting a video. Like, that's real kindness.
Also, like, I mean, I know TikTok pays like shit, but like, if they post it anywhere else, like YouTube, and they get views, like, they're probably making more than what they gave. From the video itself.
Probably getting millions of views.
Advertisements, who also subscribe, you know, all that bullshit. Like, you know, I mean, it's okay. I guess, like, you know, like people have charity streams, like, and different things like that. Like, I don't think I don't think it's always a problem to like just say that you're doing it, you know, overall in general, if you're not doing it for the clout, like, yeah, per se. And I think you can tell, like, someone giving, like you said, someone giving $1,000, you know, to some homeless guy and making a video out of it, rather than having, like, I don't know, like a charity video specifically with a bunch of YouTuber or collaboration to make fun money, you know, like, yeah, you're getting the clout for it, technically speaking, but it, you know, you're doing it in a way that's like gonna help like a lot of people or vice versa. Yeah.
And, like, you could also make that video and blur your face out and blur the other person's face out.
True.
There's technology out there. Like, it's not
just,
it's
deepfake. So, put Mark Hamill's face on there or something.
Mark Hamill's face.
Put Ewan McGregor's face on there.
Put his Last Jedi look on there, Mark, bro. Hamill. Mark Hamill, yo, Mark Hamill's been bad since episode 8, dog. He's been down bad.
He's just doing like Joker for $10.
Warner Brothers, reboot the anime series, man. This dude needs a job.
We'll get there later, but like.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mark, though, he got a lot of work after Force Awakens. Like, a lot. Like, he was in, like, six different things. Like, he hadn't been working for a while, and then he was, like, he was doing voice acting.
Was that by
but,
choice,
like,
or was
actual
that...
acting. I think everyone's career ebbs and flows, and he's an older guy, so you're not going to get a lot of parts.
I think also, like, he lost, like, a shit ton of weight for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And, like, that might have helped him, like, for roles and different things like that. Like,
maybe, yeah.
Because he's, like, I'm not saying he's, like, ripped or anything. Mm-hmm. But if he was bigger before and they needed, like, you know, smaller people, mm-hmm, for, like, certain roles, that might have opened doors, you know.
He was in Kingsman.
Was he?
Yeah, he's in Kingsman.
Was he really?
Yes. Is that a movie? And he's really good in Kingsman.
Is that a show or a movie?
It's a movie.
That actually came out in theaters, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It did. Okay.
They made like two sequels, but I think he was in the first Kingsman, if I don't remember. Like, he was in Kingsman. He was in this other movie about this like screwed up parent who like has this kid who raises him in like this enclosed like dome, yeah, and he never leaves, and he's like 20 something years old.
Yeah.
And he only watches the same show over and over and over again, and now he's got to experience the real world.
Mm.
But he's in a lot of things. I think he just like came back. He's like back into the zeitgeist, kind of, you know.
He's hot right now.
Yeah. And they're doing what's it called? Speaking of Mark Hamill, they're doing another Indiana Jones coming out soon, which I'm excited about. Hopefully it's good. It's not Steven Spielberg and George Lucas involved, so that's exciting.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
Crystal Skull was awful. I get it.
I know.
But the first three Indiana Jones movies are pretty fucking rad.
I mean, because we said the same thing about the Star Wars sequels, so
I was never really excited for the Star Wars sequels. Right. So I'm
fair.
Speaking of disappointment, you have more Blizzard things?
I do have more Blizzard things. I'm sorry. We got a little off the tangent there, but yeah,
now Michael's glitching.
This little thing came out. And everyone's like, I bet they did it on purpose, because the other news about Activision Blizzard is not doing so hot because, they've been, this is not allegations of them friending their employees. Like, the labor union went in, or the Federal Labor Association thing went in, and they found evidence of the threatening. So...
But it says employees were allegedly threatened for discussing a lawsuit against the company.
This was in April.
Oh.
It has been confirmed since then.
Oh, they should redact. They should make an edit of that, though.
Yeah.
Or Blizzard.
What is it called when they make corrections? Is that what it is?
Amendment.
Fact check.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was happening.
Wow.
Yeah. Just add to the list of Blizzard fucking up.
So Activision's, the bosses of Activision, right? The bosses at Activision were shitting in Johnny Depp's bed. All right. I'll take the L.
Sure. No. The thing would be Amber Heard is the...
Amber Turd.
Amber Turd, yeah. Okay. Amber Turd, that's better.
Is the Bobby Kotick as... Johnny Depp is to the employees of Blizzard, right? but for once, there's actual good news.
Oh yeah,
coming out of this.
Yeah.
So, Raven Software, a QA company underneath Blizzard has voted and won the right to form a union.
Wow.
Which is a big thing because it's very hard to get unions in the gaming industry. This is probably one of the first ones that's ever existed.
It's like getting into like animation or something.
Yeah. So
animation doesn't have unions either.
Yeah. So this is a big, big step. And I'm honestly really happy because I'm like, now we can finally have these fuckers held accountable.
Well, it's also true. I mean, they work so hard, don't get paid the greatest. And then also, like, now they have to deal with, like, SA and different things like that. So
you heard what happened on, like, Sausage Party, right?
Yeah.
They just didn't pay them with it. And then all these people were working, like, overtime.
That's why I refused to watch it. Other than it's not that funny.
I did not know that, actually. I've never seen the movie, but I guess I'll keep it that way. Since they're assholes.
It was good. I thought.
Go watch Arcane.
That was wrong.
All right. I have to do that still.
There's so many things where you're like, you watch it and then you find out and you're like, it's so good. Why?
Yeah, I know, right?
Why are you so shitty?
Why do you taint?
Why are you so mean to that person?
Why do you do this?
Why did you do this? This is great.
Yeah.
No, but that's actually really good. I mean, hopefully that continues forward into the animation industry as well, because they definitely need it.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes you have, like, distributors, like, I'm not going to name any names, like, let's call it Betflix, right? Just gets rid of the entire...
Cthulhu?
Yeah, the Eldritch God, Cthulhu. He decides one day, it's like, I no longer need my animation division, goodbye. And goodbye to all these projects that were happening.
You know, that sounds like another company that we know.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
Oof.
So.
Those prices, though.
Yeah. Netflix, I want to give them some kudos for, wow, I didn't know you could lose all of your stock in the matter of 2 weeks. Because... it's like they're actively killing themselves.
Oh, they are. It's self-sabotage.
Oh my God. It's really bad. Do you know about this, Nick?
That they raised the monthly price.
Again.
And then it was $20.
Raised the monthly price and divided it into these different plans. Literally, if you go for the basic plan, you can only watch the things in 480p quality.
Hmm.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it says it right there. Yeah. HD avail. That is fucking insane. You have to pay $20 for 4K? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
For Ultra
HD. No. Ultra HD is 1080p.
You're
and
fucking
4K.
Lying to me. So if you have the standard plan, 720 is your best, is like definitive. That is fucking stupid.
Did you know if you make something for Netflix and it just. You know, it's not in the Rolodex. You think it'd be there forever, right? Wrong.
Yeah.
It disappears. It goes into... And they don't do DVDs. They don't do Blu-rays.
What, you mean like it's just gone?
It's just gone off the platform. And you can't see it.
Ever again.
Now, this is their own original stuff, right?
Yeah, this is our own... I was looking for... I forget, it was like a comedy special or somebody. And I just...
Because I know like... At least, like, Little Witch Academia had a DVD release, so I know
every once in a while, Stranger Things. If it's popular enough, they might give it a DVD release. They did the Roma and the Irishman, but, like, there's a movie I really like that's on Netflix called The Meyerowitz Stories. The only place I could watch it is Netflix. Only fucking place. And I want to own it. I want to have a physical copy, and they won't let me.
Just screen record it.
And the only time they will do it...
Does it block the screen recording?
How?
Because I know Disney, I think Netflix does that too. Of like if they tell you can using
like screen, a recorder,
yeah,
it's stupid.
I mean, there's probably ways around it, but regardless, still,
it's just stupid.
Yeah. Not that I'm advocating for piracy, but I'm just saying like if that's the only option, you know what I mean?
Yeah, listen. Sometimes you gotta like I'm still waiting for fucking Funimation to die, so Crunchyroll can have everything.
Nah, here's the thing. All right. Here's the thing with Netflix. That's the big problem, is that they're garbage because they don't invest into their TV shows.
No, they don't.
Like most of their TV shows get 3 seasons if they're lucky, and then get canceled. Not even full endings. Not even good closure. So people stop investing. Also, the like all in one day thing was appealing for like I don't know a year or two. But now it's getting kind of stupid. Like, there's no reason to come back, which is why their shit is fucked. Like, oh, okay, I want to watch, I don't know, Squid Game. It's 12 episodes all at once. Bullet it in a week, less than. If you, I'm just saying, this is a theoretical situation.
Okay.
Bullet it in a week, cancel plan. Now I no longer need Netflix. Something else comes out, buy it, cancel it, done. You know what I mean? It's all, even so, free trials. Like, also, like, not every show is going to appeal to everyone. So, like, let's say, I don't know, fucking The Irishman came out, right? All right, I'm going to... I've watched the other seasons on my friend's Netflix, but I don't have that anymore. I'm going to do the free trial, bang it out, I'm done, cancel. It's like they're like, doing it to themselves. Like, they don't have shows that people can invest in, really.
Well, and also, on top of all of this, they're cracking down on password sharing.
Yeah, which is like, bro, that's your market. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They're trying to make as much money as possible. It sounds like a money guy went in there and was like, hey, bro, this is fucked. How you're losing all this money.
It's a problem with a lot of capitalism in general, because it's the whole idea of, like, they expect every single company to just continue making exponential growth on money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not how it works. You plateau eventually.
Disney is in that shit too. So they projected to their shareholders for Disney Plus that they'd have like 220 million subscribers to Disney Plus or some crazy astronomical number.
Yeah.
Like in the next like 2 years or some shit. And the last few shows that they've dropped for like Marvel have been shit. Like, Obi-Wan had a very strong opening. We'll get to that. But,
well, because the people are getting tired. People are getting burnt out.
They're getting burnt out. And also, the shows are just shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Moon Knight. I liked Moon Knight because I like Oscar Isaacs and I like the character. But Moon Knight was actually in the full 6 episodes. The total amount of time was like 20 minutes.
Really?
Not even shitting you.
Wow.
Also, it's not really a show about Moon Knight. It's a show about Moon Knight's wife. and then this weird guy who's like really nerdy and has a fake accent called Steven. And like, who's pretty much just super simpy. And that's it. And like the same thing with like Hawkeye. Hawkeye is about Kate Bishop. and then Jeremy Renner is just there. He just happens to be there. He stumbled upon the set one day and they're like, sure. You know? And then they dropped the She-Hulk trailer. And ew.
Yeah, I've been hearing
people. It's so... Pull it up.
I like the title, though. If I'm going to be honest, it's so absurd.
What, She-Hulk?
She-Hulk Attorney at Law is the title.
That's the full title.
And that is... I'm sorry, it made me laugh. I was like, okay, if they're going to go in this wacky direction. I haven't even watched the trailer, so I'm not going to judge it.
Pull up the She-Hulk trailer. No, we're going to judge it.
But
we're going to judge
it. The thing about Netflix, going back for 1 second, is this, that this is the reason why Apple Plus is doing better.
Yeah. You know what?
Quality, not quantity. Netflix puts out a lot of shit all the time. And they're just trying to push out more and more and more and more. And if you look at Apple Plus right now, they have the best shows. They have Ted Lasso was the other show. The Morning Show. They have Severance, which is supposedly amazing. And they're not shitting them out like on a constant basis.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like,
you have to pick and choose. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I don't know anything about Apple TV. I feel like Apple TV's marketing is pretty ass, but in a sense that, like, I don't hear a lot about them, like, as other shows I might, you know, with having those services. Not to say that they're, I trust your opinion that they're, like, great or whatever the case may be. But you bring up a good point, like, the longevity of their shows are just not there. Like, not even just seasons, but in quality. Like, I was watching this video, and I don't recall the names of the shows that he was comparing off-rip, but he was comparing one season on Netflix and then another one for a series on HBO. And it was basically saying that Netflix season one, like, basically they're saying that they have really strong season ones because they market really well, but then the show slowly deteriorates and, like, doesn't do well in time.
Well, that's what happened with The Witcher, like... Yeah. I didn't even know it came out until people started talking. I was like, oh.
Yeah, they don't really market season two as well as they do their season one series.
The problem with all those shows is that the first season is always amazing, and then it's always a letdown because all those shows, quote unquote, are technically movies. So because of that,
I know what you mean.
They have an ending. So Stranger Things, best example I can give. No season compares to the first season of Stranger Things. I am sorry. The first season was special in its own right. It had its own thing going on. It didn't show too much like all the other seasons. It didn't. It wasn't as braggadocious. It became like very B movie by the time, not B movie, B movie, like a beat, like a yeah. old, like schlocky monster movie by season two and three. And the third season's fun, very fun. But that first season has an emotional weight to it.
Yeah.
It impacts the whole story of 11 is daunting and terrifying and fun and all those things. And it has an ending. Like the show that had an ending.
Yeah.
And to try to prolong it and they look really weird and awkward as they got older and older, it just doesn't work.
That was a thing too. Like
a lot of those shows
like
that.
Sorry. Even like season three has that sort of problem and like even broader scope Toy Story had this
problem. You're talking about Stranger Things season three?
Yeah.
Where the second season's also, I think, worse than the third season.
Well, because but in the sense of like it has an ending and like you could stop here, but then no, we gotta go to Russia for some fucking reason, you know? And then here's season four. But like in Toy Story had that same problem. Like three had a phenomenal ending, and that could have been a nice little
I 100% agree.
And then it's like Toy Story four. I'm like,
no, money grab, money grab. Dude,
Toy Story
money,
3
money grab.
Was the best. Like it had such a it put a pin in the childhood, the nostalgia. Yeah. It was like a book closed, and that was like, yo, yeah. I'm good. Like perfect. I walked out there almost teary eyed. Like yo, that was my like that was the conclusion 100%. Of that chapter of my like my knowledge and existence, and I was like completely okay with that. I still haven't seen Toy Story 4, nor will I. Because Toy Story 3 was the end for me. It's the same way I don't even, like, in my mind, the sequels of Star Wars don't even exist.
But no, I totally agree. Toy Story 3 had the perfect ending. The whole thing in the garbage disposal, it's so emotional and so impactful. Yeah. And, it makes you feel. And the what was the other? So here's another example of that real quick. Is Squid Game. Squid Game was really good until the last 2 minutes, and then I was like,
"Oh,
fuck
the continuation."
This show. Yes,
just take your money, hang out with your daughter, and shut the fuck up.
Like literally, the whole ending with the old man and the da da da, and I was like, "The movie could have ended right here. This ends here." Like all these limited series are being advertised as series.
You know what it is? Because
they want more money.
But also, you know what it is that Netflix has no. Like plan, like it's also like Squid Game, right? Like Squid Game was a series that, like, if it didn't get a season two, you're still satisfied with it, type thing.
Yeah.
And because they plan for that, because there's no guarantee. Like I feel like most of the time, like a season, like for like I don't know, like the CW, that was not like they have shit shows, right? But like the thing is, like their shows get picked up mid season for a next one. So at least like when they take the mid season break, maybe they're writing still. They have a plan. They know they're getting another season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I just hate that it's like, keep it open because fuck it. Like, it's literally like, no, we could get us. And it's like, it's a perfect
it's sabotaging
ending.
The story just for safety. Like,
yeah. It's sabotaging the story, not for safety.
For money.
For money.
Well, I mean, as like a, in case you want to do a sequel, you know. Ooh,
but like, Stranger Things didn't have that. Stranger Things kind of ended where it ended.
Did.
Yeah, the first season. I was like, because they thought they weren't going to get one. So when they got one, they were like, oh, shit, what do we do? People love this. Yeah. Like, because they didn't expect it.
But that's the thing, right? It's like, just make something else. If people are so in high demand of Stranger Things, now as the writers or directors or whatever, now you have an opportunity to make something else, and now you have the clout of Stranger Things to backbone you. Like, don't ruin the series. It's like, sometimes things go on for way too long, and then they trail out.
Well, you mentioned the CW, Supernatural, right?
Now, Supernatural is sick. Don't disrespect. Don't disrespect the Winchester boys.
You cannot say that with a straight face.
Don't
Come
disrespect
on.
Jared and what's his face? Because I can't remember his name right now. Jensen Ackles, man. J&J. You know what my name begins with? A J. So you can't fucking fuck with them, all right? Oh. It's the Triple J squad.
No.
This is called a tangent, right?
Yeah, this is a tangent.
It is a tangent.
They have the Hulk trail up here for a while.
Let's go back to She-Hulk. All right, so the problem with Disney and Marvel is that they are ass, literally, at everything so far. Like, the writing right now and, like, just the narrative that they're going in is so backwards. Like, I almost miss the times where everything was connected because, like, now just things happen. Like, the problem they're having now is that this all takes place in the same universe, right? So they have to apply by the same universe's laws and events that have occurred. But the problem is that they don't. Like, in
should I hit play?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right.
Disgusting. She's not beefy enough.
That's
She-Hulk.
Yeah, people can complain about that.
She's not beefy enough.
She's also an attorney. She's like, just how green. Does she get into the courtroom if she's...
All right, stop there. Pause it. This is the big problem that... All right, so number one, we're pausing it for copyright reasons so they can't fucking strike us because they do that sometimes.
Well, I'll mute the audio when we release this.
No, I see people do it all the time, though. I think if you just pause in between, it counts as copyright, like fair use.
Also, if you're talking over it the whole
time.
Yeah, we'll find out.
So we'll work it out. But all right, so like... have you seen Shang-Chi?
No, I haven't.
All right, so do you care?
Do I care?
Like spoilers? It's very small. It's not a spoiler. All right, cool. So, spoiler warning for people who don't care. The post-credit scene, or people who do care, excuse me. The post-credit scene in that shows Bruce Banner in his normal human form with a slinky in his hand, right? Meaning from the hand that was injured when he snapped during Endgame. Look at him here. Number one, he's Professor Hulk again, and there's no slinky in his hands. So, how could it take place before or after? Like, where does it take place? Where's the continuity? Are they going to address that at all? My best guess is that they will not. It's just stuff like, you think it's like a minute detail.
Well, no, actually, you have to watch Book of Boba Fett in order to see.
Okay, but if we're going to talk about continuity, then how did Edward Norton become Mark Ruffalo? Magic?
Well, you can say the same thing about Rhodes. I mean, at some point you just accept like there's cast changings and different things like that.
You can accept that. It's a green man who gets angry and he's like Frankenstein basically, yeah. Attacking cities and whatnot. I don't know.
It's Hulk. Yeah.
Have fun. I don't know. Is that the most important thing? Is to have fun when you're watching one of these things?
Yes,
but like they can't use that as an excuse all the time, right?
Yeah,
like, it's just a fun series. Who gives a shit if we just ignore all the other previous shit?
Like, but the thing is, it doesn't look fun.
That's also a thing. It's like it has to actually be
30 seconds of the trailer. So I all right,
let's keep going.
The music tells me otherwise.
Let's keep going.
Marvel humor does not count. Marvel humor does not count.
Marvel humor isn't humor.
Yeah.
No offense. It's just like, this is kind of a joke, right, guys?
Yeah, she's...
She's not.
Dude, there's a close-up on her face, and it's so bad.
Yeah, I've seen... Oh.
It's bad, man. Ooh. It's bad, man.
You know what this feels like? It feels like this was a movie that should have came out in like the 2000s, right?
Yeah, dude.
Like this should have came out with the original Hulk.
It's very dated.
Oh my god. Oh, okay. So is her thing a lawyer? Is that what this is?
Yeah, keep going though.
Oh, okay,
keep going.
Yeesh. Oh. Oh.
Okay, I agree. I think it's just, it seems like I don't know. It just seems kind of not funny, and also
it seems very cringe. It's super cringe.
It feels like it's trying to be socially conscious, but by being very facetious and not really dealing with anything, and just like, oh, look, a fry joke.
Well, the thing is, like, what purpose does this serve? Like, it seems like a very goofy...
So She-Hulk exists, and it is goofy.
No,
so.
But sure, like, I know she... I mean, she's, like, one of the most, like, more sexualized characters in Marvel Comics and stuff like that. So I get why they're gonna, like, go that route and, like, say, oh my god, your ass looks great. But, like, if you look at She-Hulk, like, in the OGs, like, she was still bulky, like... It's I don't know. I feel like they just literally put greens. They might as well just painted her, yeah. And just like sized her up.
Clearly,
in CG.
They didn't play Resident Evil 8, right?
Like, I don't know. I guess
I like the title. I'm not gonna lie. Like I thought that was like oh this She-Hulk kind of because they're like yeah it's like every other you know what if we took you know those old what was that show with Candace Bergen that was all the time. The old, there were a lot of lawyer shows on television. Mm-hmm. So let's take that idea, but make it She-Hulk. Okay, I want to see that train wreck. Okay, that sounds like it could be interesting. If they could pull it off, even better. I also don't judge on trailers because sometimes they're very wrong and they show you the wrong movie. They show you what they want you to see, not what the movie actually is.
I get what you mean.
But based on that, I didn't get any enjoyment other than the title. So,
also, the thing is, like, they don't have a good track record right now. So, it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, how much... It's, like, you can't give them the benefit of the doubt when you've seen, like, what they've done. Like, I was super excited for Moon Knight, man. Because I really like Moon Knight. It's basically Marvel's Batman. You know? And they should have went... They're going in... I know what direction they're going in because they did the same thing to Moon Knight. They should have went more Daredevil and they went more Ant-Man. You know? And that's kind of what they're doing for all of these shows. And I'm just kind of fatigued.
Well, the problem is, I think, is Marvel has a very specific tone. And I think now the movies either fit it or they don't. And... I think, because if you look at, to me, the best ones fit the tone. So Guardians fits the tone.
Winter Soldier
feels, it's kind of, there's a goofy stuff, because you have Iron Man in there, so it's kind of goofy.
That's Civil War.
That's Civil War, yeah, you're right. But Winter Soldier is actually really great, but it's also a little self-referential. Like, there are jokes in there. I'm sorry, I was thinking of Civil War.
No, you're good.
But I also love Civil War. I thought that Iron Man's great. But the ones that don't were like Thor, like the first Thor especially.
Well, Thor and Thor the Dark World are ass.
Yeah.
Or the other, name a couple. So my brain is like
some
fried.
Bad movies. Captain
Iron
Marvel.
Iron Man 3 is not great.
Captain Marvel.
First Captain America.
I enjoyed well, Captain that's a hot Marvel. Take. Because I thought Captain Marvel was socially conscious in the right way. And I also thought the bad guys were the most interesting thing. I didn't think Captain Marvel was as interesting, but the idea that it was like a Star Trek episode.
But her portrayal of it is so bland.
No, I think she was fine, honestly.
I don't know. I
think she was good. I thought there were too many PG-13 Sam Jackson jokes in it where I'm like, this needs to be rated R. Because clearly he can't say mother flubber for 15 times. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Like but
why
overall.
Why is the cat the one that scratches his eye?
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's stupid. Another thing. Like, he said something last time, I trusted someone, I lost an eye. And then it was just the stupid alien cat.
Like, but it's a thing of
what does that even mean?
It's a thing where it was better with some things didn't have to be explained. It was just left open.
See, I don't. You give a shit about the particulars in the world. To me, it has to be a good movie first. Then if it fits the world, great. If it doesn't, I don't give a shit as long as I enjoyed it.
I guess, like, but the thing is about that, like, it's not a good movie to me if it doesn't fit the world depending on what movie it is. Like, some of them are trying to set up characters that'll be influential in the future, so they should at least have, like, you know, some you know, continuity to it, like, that makes sense. Like,
Did you like Joker, though?
Yeah, but that's standalone.
I know it's standalone, but if you're a kid, you could look at it that way and be like, it doesn't fit the Batman I like. And that's how I felt. I felt it wasn't a representative of Batman or Joker.
But there was no pre-established, like, lore for that particular Joker. Like,
no, but there is for Joker, and there's the killing joke, which is, like, one of the best comics ever.
Yeah, but you can't have that without Batman.
The killing joke doesn't really have Batman in it. The original comic?
You're talking about the one where he shoots Barbara, right?
No. I'm talking about the one that's the Joker's origin story.
Yeah, that's the one where he. Yeah, that's
the
same.
Barbara.
Yeah,
I am sorry. Like, I haven't read it since.
That's when he goes into his origin story about when he's a comedian and the mob and all that shit. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's where she gets.
Sorry.
No, you're 100%. You're fine.
But yeah, no, I just. I guess if it's like a big thing, totally, 100%. Like the snap, like that's clearly going to affect every other movie.
But it doesn't. But that's what I'm talking about. Like the snap, like, all right, there's 5 years with half the population gone. Mm-hmm. And then in the snap of a second, everyone is back. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no repercussions to that whatsoever. We had that one small scene in WandaVision and Far From Home where they saw people blipping back. Mm-hmm. But there's no repercussions to it. Like, there's no world mayhem. You think, like, if that happened in the real world, that would take, like, years to recuperate from. Like, you know, like, decades to get everything back to, like, a static place. But I understand it's a superhero world and that, like, people have, like, crazy technology and there's a bunch of different things at play, but they don't really talk about that at all. You know what I mean? It just brushes aside, and that's, like, one of the cooler things. Like, that was the end game, right? And, like, I feel like after end game, just, like, nothing matters anymore.
That's me too. I agree. But that was the idea of the multiverse, I think, was to, like, well, what if it didn't happen?
Like, you mean, like in other areas?
Like, yeah, or just, like, what if it didn't happen? Like, yeah, let's play devil's advocate. Like, what if it didn't happen and we can make all these other movies?
No, but it can still happen. And, like, WandaVision's a great example of that, though. Like, they had Maria Rambeau blip back in the hospital and her mother had passed. Mm-hmm. Like, she had to deal with the repercussions of that, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we don't get a lot of that in the show. Like, there's no, in the continuity, like, are the Avengers even a thing anymore? Like, they make jokes about that, but it's never addressed. Like, not really. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of those things where, like, again, like, everything's just back to normal right away, which seems just kind of weird to me. Like, and now at this point, it's like, well, it's a done deal. Like, they're already past that. Like, it's been a year, I think, since the blip in Marvel continuity time. Because Spider-Man Far From Home was like 8 months after or some shit like that. You know, and they already had another movie. So it's one of those things that I think is kind of just a lost opportunity. But it's like, it's stuff like that that kind of irks me sometimes. Like they just like, so because sometimes like things that are important or that they've referenced in the past gets changed. And I don't know.
I guess it's just like they have to keep making more because they're a company. And the idea of like, I'm not saying it's right at all.
It's like resetting the status quo.
And also it's like they're sort of resetting. And I guess you're saying like, wouldn't that affect a lot of people? I guess COVID affected a lot of people like that. And that was a million people dying. So in that, I guess, aspect, I think people also move on. So I guess there's a, you could argue either. I'm not arguing either way, but I'm guessing you could argue
But that's a great point, is that people moved on and then all these people came back. Mm-hmm. It's like, what if you were married and now you're married again? What happens? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's for the fan fiction to decide.
No, but I'm not saying like relationships are important, but I'm saying like the legal aspects, like the repercussions, like they dealt with that in the other Marvel movies. Like when Age of Ultron occurred and the Battle of New York, the Soviet Accord, the came out of that. You're right. Like they dealt with that kind of to an extent, and it's just like, it was never addressed. And that's just like one of the things I feel like they're going to start doing. Like, that like they're just gonna stop addressing certain aspects of things that are supposed to have like great, I don't know,
an impact on the character.
And like, listen, Shang-Chi is a great example of like a standalone introductory movie that didn't have a lot to do with the MCU, and that's cool. It's a new character, you know. It's when you're gonna take in a pre-established like characters, you're gonna do one thing with them in one movie and then not address it in the next scene that they're in. It's confusing. It's like it's like what they did with Boba Fett. They had Mandalorian season 2.5 where Grogu went back to Mando. Anyone who did not watch Boba Fett, who is not the avid Star Wars watcher, which is a majority of people who watch Mandalorian because they care about Grogu and Baby Yoda, right? Like at least 40% of the base. Like, I know people who would never watch Star Wars in a day in their life, but they thought he was cute and watched the series, right?
Yep.
So they're not going to go ahead and be like, I want to watch Boba Fett too, the other Mando. You know what I mean? No. It's only the Star Wars fans who would do that. You know what I mean? And to do something, you know, to like it doesn't make sense, like, in that regard.
I think, yes, for fans.
Yeah.
For people who are not fans, which is a majority of people,
but that's
to
what
be
the,
honest.
That's what makes me upset, is that they keep catering to people that aren't the fans. And that's why their sales are going down. It's clear as day.
Yes and no, though. I think there are a couple movies out there that have a lot of fan service, and they make a shit ton of money.
Well, like Spider-Man, for example.
No Way Home is fan service the movie.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It is clearly fan service the movie.
Oh, 100%.
And I wish I liked it more. I really did. It was one of those movies where I was just like, how many times can Andrew Garfield cry as Spider-Man? Like, I just, I don't know how many times he cried in that movie, and he cried in Amazing Spider-Man 2. And I'm just like, why are you bringing the characters back from Amazing Spider-Man 2? These are I hate these villains.
No.
The first one was fine, but what's his name? Electro? Yeah. That Electro is fucking the Riddler from Batman Forever. It's the same exact storyline. It's the same exact character. It's the same exact goofiness. And then they want to, oh, there's this earnest love story in the middle of it. It's like, if they fucking don't mesh, it's like putting, I don't know, like battery acid in a chocolate milkshake. I'm like, I don't want, what the fuck is this?
You know what,
like,
No Way Home's biggest crime is? It's making everyone forget that they hate the Amazing Spider-Man movies. Like, I keep seeing hashtags, make the Amazing Spider-Man 3.
I'm like,
why would you ever want that?
No.
Like, the first two were so shit. Why would you ever?
It was fine.
Stop. He's such an asshole in that movie.
Spider-Man's an asshole in the comics sometimes. He makes
only
jokes
to women. No, I'm joking. Stop.
Only to women.
I'm sorry. I'm just joking.
No, you're fine. but, like, it's just. And the ending of Amazing Spider-Man 2 is the most...
Oh, it's so bad. With the hand web, dude.
Killed Gwen, I was just like... I had an audible laugh in the theater. Like, I didn't know how to react other than to laugh really hard.
I thought it was sad.
I was laughing hysterically.
It was like
the funniest... And no, but the neck snap.
Oh,
it
yeah,
was the perfect comic timing.
Oh.
It was like... And then, that was the web, and then it went like that, and I was just like, "What the hell?" It was in slow motion. It was already no sound, yeah. And then you add the took at the end, and I'm like, "It's hysterical."
Some Foley artist went in with some celery and went.
I mean, she hit her head anyway, right?
Yeah.
Am I not? So she,
or she snaps her neck. No, she snaps her neck.
Yeah.
Maybe she hit her head on the way down.
Or she hit her head.
It's kind of both.
Like, either way, she was dead. Like, yeah. Even if he did catch her, like.
I just love the neck snap at the end. It was like Three Stooges. Like, I was just like.
Poor Gwen Stacy, man. And poor Emma Stone.
The love story, and then fucking Don DeHaan's Goblin was the worst. Like, he's
Goblin,
so
dude. I liked him so much in Chronicle, that was career ending, huh?
Yeah, the that next was movie ending, like that and Cure Wellness, he was like really bad
cringe.
In
super cringe,
and yeah. And that movie's really weird because it's like you're thinking
fraud,
it's the
Spider-Man. Sorry,
no, you're okay.
I'm sorry.
He was the most. He's the worst. Him and Electro, Jamie Foxx's Electro, and then he tried to pull it off like he was cool and No Way Home.
They're like, yeah,
and I'm
have
just
a new
like,
bot.
You're not fucking
yeah, he's
cool.
Not glowing blue anymore.
Yo, I came to this universe and now I'm Jamie Foxx.
that's literally what happened.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is.
But the jokes were terrible. The only thing I liked that was that Willem Dafoe, but they had to kill him in another fucking movie. Like, he hadn't died in enough movies. Now we're going to kill Willem Dafoe, not only in Spider-Man, but Spider-Man No Way Home. We're going to kill him again because people like seeing Willem Dafoe. Something about his face that makes me want to see him die. Like,
did he die?
He didn't die.
In Spider-Man, he dies.
He dies in the first one.
And he dies at the end, I thought, in No Way Home.
Nah, he was going to die, but then Tobey Maguire stops Tom Holland's Peter. So he
Somebody confused
die.
Me the other day, and no, I don't want to get my hands on
Tom Holland was about to kill him.
Okay.
No, I think the confusion also is that some of those characters might die anyway.
Uh-huh.
Like, like Doc Ock is like the prime time example.
Doc Ock was great in that
movie. He was, but he's the prime time example of that. Like he referenced that he had Peter by the neck, right, and that he was going to win when he got, you know, transferred over to the MCU, right? If you look at the timeline, and if it's right at what the time is, like what he's talking about, the machine is about to go fucking haywire, and he sacrifices himself anyway to just die. Yeah. It makes no sense. Like, I don't know. I like that movie a lot. I think it might have been a little too soon to have Toby and Andrew in the films.
Well, also, it felt like Toby didn't want to be there.
Well, Toby was totally there for the money.
Yeah, because I'm like, he looked like so.
I think he's openly said that.
He was like so not infused. Like Andrew Garfield, when he's not crying, is like you can buy.
Well, Andrew Garfield has something to prove. I feel like.
Yeah, but like Toby's kind of just like, he's like the Tony Hawk. He like comes in and it's like,
Toby's.
He's just the dad of the group.
Yeah, but he's fine. My problem was Andrew, because Andrew always seems like he wants to be like a sensitive act. Like even like
he's a sensitive guy, I think.
But like it showed way too much in that fucking movie. I was like, "You're fucking Spider-Man. Stop crying, please."
Oh, like when he was talking about losing Gwen, and then when he saved MJ.
How many times is he gonna cry in front of me?
Yeah,
it freaked. I was just like, "Why are you crying so much? Calm down."
It's funny you say that because like Tobey Maguire was like the crying Spider-Man before, or like,
but Tobey Maguire has shit to cry about. Like that man's life sucked. He was like 35 and like a $1,000 rent apartment and couldn't afford it, bro. Like I'd be sad too. That man had a lot. That Peter had a lot of shit going on. Like, I can see why it's going down.
I like that Peter. I like that Spider-Man.
That's my Spider-Man. That's my Spider-Man. I like Tom. Too. I like Tom. I have nothing against him, but Toby is my Spider-Man.
Miles Morales is my Spider-Man.
Miles Morales is a fucking great Spider-Man.
He is.
He so, is. Like, we don't need any more Spider-Man. We're good.
You know, you heard that they're bringing Zendaya back for the next Spider-Man movie?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I wonder what's going to happen.
They're going to get back together.
But why?
Because I have nothing their love is lost.
I love Zendaya. Like, I have no problems with her being Mary Jane. That's the definitive thing that they're doing, I suppose.
She's great.
Yeah. But, like, you're just going to totally fuck everything that you did at the end of the last movie. Like,
bring in Gwen Stacy.
How's that?
Get Spider-Gwen in there.
Just not to bring in Black Cat.
Oh.
We've never seen Black Cat. That's like a perfect time. Like he's like vulnerable, can easily be manipulated. You know what I mean? He has nobody. That's a good time for Black Cat.
Remember Black Widow?
That movie.
No. Isn't there a character named Black Widow in Spider-Man who would like
Marvel?
In Marvel, yeah.
She's in the Avengers.
Currently dead.
She's dead.
No, I'm thinking of someone else then.
The white-haired girl?
She's older, and she, like,
she's a burglar.
She reaches out to... I remember in the Amazing Spider-Man series, the animated one, there's a character named
Madame
Black...
Madame
Webb.
They're making a movie about her already. Dakota Johnson got casted as her.
She's, like, older, though, right?
Well, not necessarily. There's been two Madame Webbs. Yeah. And this one of them is a mutant that has, like, cosmic spider things. She's kind of connected to the multiverse of Spider-Man, kind of, in some way. I forget how.
The Spider-Man multiverse.
Yeah, the Spideyverse, pretty much.
Andrew Garfield crying Spider-Man.
Somewhere out there's an Andrew Garfield Spider-Man that doesn't cry.
Yeah, I want to see that one.
And he got the trilogy. I like Andrew Garfield. I feel like we're roasting him, but it's just funny.
He should have just had one moment where he cried, not like five.
Dude, if he cried...
That wasn't actually scripted. He just continued to cry.
100%. I 100% believe that. I 100% think like there were like five times and he's like, what if I just made this more emotional? I'm just like...
John Watts is like, dude, this is the 50th take. Fine. He's a fine. I want to go home.
I just really want to... I think he should be very emotional here. Dude. I think he should just be... He was taking everything away from Tom Holland.
I just watched Steven Universe. Seriously, very emotional.
Everybody.
What?
He was trying to out-act everybody.
Yep, 100%. And Toby was like, I ain't playing this game. Like,
dude, I already got the check, dude.
I got the money. I'll make a joke and I'll leave. That's what Spider-Man does, okay?
That's literally how he enters the film. Because like Andrew comes in like a, whoa, oh, and then literally the portal opens up and you're like, excuse me. He walks through the door.
How do you act again? What's my line?
I am not. It was like he came literally
played
set.
The deadbeat Peter Parker from Into the Spider-Verse. That's what he did.
It was like he came on the set and was like, you want me to walk through a portal? Fuck no. Like, I'm just walking in. I'm going to say my line and I'm leaving at 4:30. You can kiss my ass.
Toby, the green screen's right there. Just stand in front of
I don't care. Yo. I got to go to Tommy Bahamas at 4:30.
The whole movie, he realized that Tom's Peter needed help and he was just like in the alleyway. Like, just chilling.
Right,
the whole
that's what I'm saying.
He's like, there's a portal now? Oh. I guess I'll go through it, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God, no.
He was probably like, show on the road. No,
I can imagine on set, because, like, obviously he was back. Like, he hasn't acted, like, in these type of movies in a long time. And you know how they're all, like, blue screen and, like, all, yeah. like, you know, fucking CGI. He was probably like, okay, so you're going to pretend to walk through a portal? And he's probably like, shouldn't there be like a hula hoop or something, like, you know, like that shit, you know what I mean? Should insinuate what I'm supposed to do. He's probably just like there's nothing nothing there. And he's just like,
wait, are you talking about Toby or Andrew?
Toby. Yeah. That's why he's so awkward, because he doesn't know like how he should come out of it, because he can't see anything.
I literally could just picture him like walking on set. There's all the green screens around. Okay, and the director's like explaining this complicated.
He's like,
there's this portal. If you're gonna go through time and space.
Toby's just hearing white noise.
This is gonna come right through. You're gonna come through time and space. You're gonna walk through time and space. You're gonna feel all of it. Then you're gonna see this portal. It's gonna open up. You're gonna see all these other Spider-Man, other versions of you. You're gonna flip out. And he goes, no.
And in his mind, he just hears da 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 da.
Did I do the laundry today? Maybe.
It's like, where are my cigs, man?
Spider-Man smokes.
Wobble. Again, he's literally Peter B. Parker. That's literally him.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love how you just went on a random Spider-Man tangent.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's okay.
So Obi-Wan came out.
Yeah, we need to skip to that.
Have you seen it, Nick?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh man, it's
I'm also off Star Wars and Marvel for the
indefinite future.
No, I just
But Kenobi. Yeah.
I'm gonna see Guardians, I think, when it comes out, but I'm kinda
But Kenobi.
But no
Kenobi.
I'm also just like off of I'm just not interested in watching prequel shit. Like, I don't know.
What? There's tired. Not prequel shit. What the fuck?
I'm they not keep really doing a fan of those prequels, man.
Dog, have you seen Clone Wars, man?
No, I haven't.
Well,
I heard
that's
it's
why
great.
You like them, bro. That's
I
why
am,
you like
but
them.
Like, I'm not like.
You gotta watch
people
Clone Wars.
Watch Star Wars like I watched Indiana Jones as a kid, and Indiana Jones was my like. I could quote those movies religiously. I could tell you like certain characters you wouldn't know, but like Star Wars, just I never could really connect to. As well. Like, I liked Star Wars. It was fun, but it was never the thing where I was like, this is my religion, and whoever doesn't like it can go suck an egg. Like, I never.
It's like,
Nick, you need to watch Clone Wars, Nick.
No.
You
sorry.
Need to watch Clone Wars. Do
not,
it.
There's enough Star Wars and enough people who are going to watch it.
I mean, I understand.
And they can be happy.
I understand
Nick,
the point.
The Force is strong.
I understand the point, because there's literally a Tumblr post where it's like, you know, the new Star Wars things comes out and like, oh, right, you're watching it. And then like, Blork Snargar comes out of a portal and all the fans jizz their pants. You're like, oh my God, Blork Snargar came out? I mean, I get that sort of feeling of like, okay, fandoms are a little.
I just think it's like, I think we're having, like, there's no. I have a problem with there being no original content.
I can hands down.
Like, I think the world needs more original content. I think it needs other voices, new things. And the more we focus and watch all that shit, the less it's going to exist. And also, I think we're getting to the point where we're all fatigued about it.
What about Star Wars Visions? That's like the animated shit that has.
I heard it's really great. I still haven't seen it because I want more time to watch things that I haven't seen. I don't want to see other versions of other things that I've seen already. The only thing I really feel about, like, I'll continue to watch, I think, is like Batman. Because I love Batman.
Well, Batman will forever be just, he's the dude.
Yeah.
He's the dude.
But Star Wars is just like, it's such a big world. It's so all encompassing. I'm never going to watch it all. And I'm never going to get to it all. So, and I'm not as like 100% interested in it.
I get that.
It's the One Piece, like, problem.
Yeah, One Piece is that's a whole
Indiana other. Jones, on the other hand, I'll sit through a crappy Crystal Skull if it gets me to a good Indiana Jones, you know, 5 or whatever. James Mangold's making that, and he just made Logan, was his last movie. Oh, so wow. I'm like,
okay,
I am primed and ready to be taken.
Dude,
to
that's how I felt about the Batman when it first got mm-hmm. announced that Matt Reeves was going to direct.
I was excited about it, too.
I was hyped.
I was very excited.
We'll get there. Don't worry. That's on the docket. You guys can unload there.
All right. So,
but Obi-Wan, I guess.
Okay. Well, the thing I like about Obi-Wan is that it gives you some context into some things that are nice to know. Like, this is spoiler warnings for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. Nick, obviously, you don't care. So, we're good.
I'll still do it because I might. Obi-Wan is one of those characters.
Well, it's like, all right, so we get some context on, like, his family in the past. You get, like, it deals with, like, a lot of PTSD. All right, the thing about what I love about this era, it post-Order 66, is that Order 66 is still fresh and happening. Like, the fear, the PTSD, the sadness, the dark, like, undertones of, like, the world and, like, the brooming threat, yeah. You know? All of it. It's like you can cut the tension with a knife. You
well,
know what I
was
I mean?
Gonna say, episode 3 recently just came out,
and it's fire.
And like I think this is one of the few instances, other than like the original trilogy, where like the Empire is scary.
Yeah.
Like,
there's theory again.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like.
Oh yeah.
We're going back to like the like it's not the it's not like the World War II Germans, but it's kind of the World War II Germans.
That's good.
And. Like, there's a perfect scene where, like, it's Obi-Wan and young
Leia.
And they're on a planet alone, and they're trying to find get a ride to a spaceport. And it's like, this is my favorite character of this thing.
Freck.
He's just, like, this mole man dude who's got, like, a pickup truck, and he's got, like, a MAGA cap somewhere. but, like...
Yeah.
And he's, like... Good. And he's, like, oh, yeah, you guys look okay. Come on in. I'm driving to the port now. And, like, they go to the back of the truck, and there's a big old Empire flag plastered on the back. And he's like, oh, man, Empire is cool. Like, it's nice that we have some order around
he's
here
like
finally.
He's like friends with the troopers.
Yeah, yeah, literally, like, he picks up the troop. He's like, oh, hey, Frank, what's up? And it's like,
But what's cool is, like, you see, like, you know, because in A New Hope, like, people didn't fuck with the Empire, right? Mm-hmm. But you're seeing it here because, like, there's still a Senate. Like, it's everything's still fresh. Like, they're doing really shady shit, but it's really on the low low. Like, they're not like blowing up planets for the sake, you know, for a test, you know, at some points in time. Like,
they
at this
have
moment.
Like the border guard, and it's like, because the guy's like,
it's like, hey, Jim, you know what I mean? It's like one of those
things.
Hey, like,
Jim, and it's like, looks at Obi-Wan, it's like, get out of the car, we need it.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they're hiding a little Star Trek in their Star Wars. That's what it sounds like. It's more because Star Wars is more fun. Star Trek usually has a lot of
I guess
layers.
You know what? Yeah, I guess it sort of is like that a little
Well,
bit.
I don't know.
That's what I liked about Captain Marvel is because the bad guy wasn't the bad guy.
Well, like, No. Well, the Inquisitors and Darth Vader are bad people. There is no like gray.
No. I'm talking about that's a political message.
Meaning
that like it's talking about society in a way. That you wouldn't normally get from.
I feel like Star Wars does do that like a lot. Like you'd be surprised
in the prequels more.
Well,
it's
done poorly in the prequels.
Well, that's because like there's no politics in 4 through 6. Like because the Empire was just
bad,
the dominant force. Yeah,
just evil.
Yeah,
no, but and they were definitely based on like World War II like stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I get that, but it wasn't. That sounds more political and specific, like. The first, at least the first trilogy, the original trilogy, why, whatever. Anyway, I just hate that it's so fucking confusing and convoluted. The first trilogy, by I mean 4 through 6, yeah, not 1 through 3.
The original.
Because
right?
Go
the
fuck original. Yourself, people, yeah, in logic. But it doesn't really, it doesn't explore political aspects as much. And that just sounds more interesting. It sounds more like hiding things that are real. That are, yeah, but that's that are why we deal with.
But that's why I like Clone Wars so much, because it's like it gives so much context to like, mm-hmm, what's going on and like all these, yeah, different layers.
So you like it when George Lucas hires a writer?
Yeah, because George, Lucas, can't, George Lucas can't write. Yes, yeah, so he very much so.
His daughter did like 12 episodes, and they're the, yeah, best episodes of Clone Wars. And you're like, damn it, man! Like,
you know why? Because she knows his. That's that her mother is the reason why, right, Star Wars, right, is so fucking good.
Right, right.
Marsha,
right,
Lucas is basically the savior of Star Wars. And once he fired her and divorced her, that's when Star Wars went to shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And his the other producer, Robert, I forget his name. Maybe it's not Robert. It might be Dean. I forget.
I take it you're not a George Lucas fan.
I think he's, I love how influential, I think he just had a really good thing and he ran it into the ground. And I think he tends to do that. And I think
I feel like
he's the guy who shits in the shit sandwich. Like, and nobody says no to him. So whether it's he has good ideas, but he also has bad ideas, and there's no one to tell him that that's a bad idea. And Steven Spielberg will listen to you and say, "Oh, you know what? Maybe that is a bad idea."
But isn't Dave Filoni like that person to George?
Yes, but George isn't really involved. Like I probably, George, I know what probably you mean. Yeah,
he doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Like Dave probably cares more than he does.
Yeah,
and I just, it just bothers me when the people who really made it good, you don't really help, and then you fuck over, and then
no, I understand.
And then you come out with this shit thing like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and the reason why that movie's so terrible is because of George Lucas. It's not because of Steven Spielberg. It's not because of Harrison Ford. It's because George Lucas had an idea that he wanted to run into the ground, and he had a perfectly great script written by Frank Darabont,
yeah,
the guy
you showed me that. Oh my god,
directed Shawshank, wrote and directed Shawshank Redemption, one of the best movies ever made. He wrote a script specifically for Steven Spielberg. That is one of the. It's the. It's like the.
It's
the
really good.
It's the Indiana Jones movie you didn't know you wanted to see, and it's online. You could find it.
You showed me it. It was,
yeah,
crazy.
It's incredible. There's this fight scene on the clock. It's great. And they were just like, he's just like, no, and you're just like, fuck you, it's fuck like, you. If someone like cares that much to do something like that, and you're not even like, I want to do Crystal Skulls, like, fuck you. I'm sorry. And also, let's just put CG in every fucking moment of that movie and ruin it. That's just George Lucas jerking off all over.
But he was doing it at a time where CG was not there yet.
Oh, look, the fucking groundhog that comes up in the middle of the... Oh, by the way, Indiana Jones will survive a nuclear bomb.
From a fridge.
He is not only immortal.
What?
He will survive a...
There's a scene where, in the beginning, where he's in this like Nuketown testing area, and the nuke is getting tested, and he literally hides in a fridge as a nuke goes off, and he survives despite the fact the fridge flies in the air and like lands 100 feet away, sort of thing.
I guess you can make it logical by the third movie, but it's just there's so much shit like that where it's nonsensical, yeah. And also like at this point, I guess it doesn't make sense to make a fifth Indiana Jones movie because he's fucking immortal. He's Superman now. Like, he's literally, he drank from the cup of the covenant.
Yeah.
Like, or, I forget, the Holy
the
Grail.
Jesus glass. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So.
Anyway, so anyway. Obi-Wan.
Sorry.
Right. No, you're good. Yeah, I really like it because it really gives, Obi-Wan didn't know that Anakin was alive. And, like, I think that is a really good premise because, like, all this time he's been living with, like, this guilt and, like, this distrust and betrayal and not, like, thinking, did he make a, like, a wrong mistake? Did he make a good mistake? Like, whatever, you know? And then he sees Vader. Like, he hears about his existence, right? He hears the words Vader, that Anakin is alive and, like, the shock, right? You know, you feel it, right? Like, and when he first sees him, like this hulking beast that just like has no mercy whatsoever.
My god, that introduction was so crazy. Good. Because like he's hiding, Obi-Wan's hiding in a town and like going through this kind of like secret, like
he's trying to escape.
Yeah, trying to escape.
He's the guy in the Western that's trying to lay low in a small town.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Inquisitors come, the Stormtroopers are there, and then Vader shows up. And like immediately immense pressure. And like I think Vader realizes Obi-Wan's there, so it's like, all right, I'm gonna draw him out. He walks in town, just chokeholds some random guy, froze him. His son comes out, grabs him, snaps his neck, froze him, and you're just like, oh man, like he's just walking.
Just like the first scene. So like Obi-Wan's talking and out of nowhere he's like, it's like the Spider-Man scene in the apartment when his spider sense goes off and he's like all like you know, all like dazzled out, kind of like he's like tripping or some shit. It's kind of like that where like he's like he feels like this immense like it's like, you know, like presence in the Force, this sinister presence. And you still see Vader, like he stands there, he breathes, and he just starts walking, right? As he slowly kind of whiffs him out, like sniffs him out, you know? And like I love that scene, the first one when he takes the guy, because he literally opens their window and pulls him out. Like totally, like he knew, like, it's so cool because like you see how calculated he is. Like if you look at Anakin in Revenge of the Sith when he first fought Obi-Wan, super brash, overconfident, arrogant, you know, like too obsessed with his own power. And you see him like when he's walking in town, he's slow. He's taking his time. He's apprehensive. He's calculated. He feels like he's somewhere and he knows that he wants to pull him out. So he grabs the dude, right? And starts like just torturing him, right? And the kid comes out and the kid just fucking annoys him. It's not even purposeful.
He's like, a youngling.
the kid just annoys him, snaps his neck, and just keeps walking. Drags another girl behind him.
Yeah, just drags her on the floor.
Dragging her on the floor as he's walking.
And I think he's making eye contact with Kenobi, like where he assumes he is. And it's kind of just like, do something. Do something.
Yeah. like the whole time, it's like, come on, pussy. Like, you know, like, let's get it going. Yeah. It's like he's been itching for this. So, you know, it's so cool.
Badass. Like, or not a bad. I guess he's not a badass because you're not rooting for him. But it's
scary. I'm rooting for him.
It's like how I was saying where like the Empire is scary again. It's like you remember to like why Darth Vader is like a bad motherfucker. It's like
I that sounds amazing. Honestly, like because I want to see now, Darth Vader be a badass.
My favorite line though out of Episode 3 is when like because like it's there's a funny scene where like. Obi-Wan runs. He's running away from him, technically. Like, hasn't seen him yet. And then he sees Vader in front of him, and Vader immediately puts out his lightsaber, like, we're about to get this going. And Obi-Wan just looks at him and runs away. And I found that kind of funny. Like,
he's
I just
like,
thought,
nah.
He's like, nah, nah. But it's so cool to see, like, when they first, like, get, like, he's, like, really on the jump on him, right? And Obi-Wan gets a really good look at him, and is towering soon. He's like, what have you become? And Darth Vader is, I am what you made me, essentially. And I find that, like, so, like, you know.
Very biblical.
Yeah, and it's, like, just, I don't know, it's so deep, like, you know, in the sense that, like, just because of their relationship. And, like, you also see how.
It's Frankenstein and Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, and you see also, like, the power difference. Like, when they first fought, they were kind of even and, like, And just, you didn't know, you know, like, it could have gone either way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in this, like, yes, like, Obi-Wan hasn't trained in 10 years, but it's not even just that. Like, the fact that Darth Vader's suit, his metal arms, give him so much more power. He's using one hand and just dominating this dude.
It's literally, like, from Episode 5 when Luke battles Darth Vader, and he's just getting, like, tossed around sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's literally like that. He's just wailing on Obi, and Obi's like, oh, I've like, only been chopping meat for the last 10 years. Like, and he gets beaten, and, like, Vader lights a fire, and it's like, I'm gonna do what you did to me, and just starts dragging him through the fire, and it's like,
he's like, now you're the one who will suffer.
Damn.
And he just like pulls him down and starts slowly dragging him through the flames.
Oh my
god. It's super brutal, and it's really cool. Like, they do not hold back. Some complaints I have.
Oh, I got some points too.
The comedy, it's a little much. It's a little too Marvel for me. Like
sometimes it works. Like, they did the That's Not How the Force Works.
Yeah.
But a little bit better than how they did it in the sequels.
Yeah, but the thing also, like, the Leia, first of all, that little girl who plays Leia, stellar.
She's an amazing actress.
Stellar, mm-hmm. Yeah. Stellar. She's cute. She's really tiny.
Well, you see the Carrie Fisherism.
Yeah, and you see like how like she could be like, I get it. She's like a young Padme, like, you know, like mm-hmm. she embraces that and really does a good job at it. However, her chase scenes,
oh my God,
have to be the most awful, like the worst editing. I think you would cringe.
Mm-hmm. It's not even editing. It was just
it's editing, dude. There was this one shot where the actor was literally like, I could totally grab this chick and I'm going to try a little bit, but I know they're going to cut it. So he went, oh, and just let her go. I saw it. I was like, yo, that was bad. That was a bad cut.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a general. It's like, you can cash a 10-year-old. You can do this.
Everyone's
like,
having a really hard time.
Oh, Jesus.
Obi-Wan's having a hard time catching her when she runs away. I'm like, use the force, man.
The Obi-Wan made sense because I'm like, you're trying to be inconspicuous, trying to get the kid, but like, you're in a forest. There's three of you. Like, it. Come on. Like, oh, that was bad.
Also, the same thing is like, you know how Vader made that fire, right? Well, he said your suffering's only begun. He quenched the fire and pushed him back in the force, right? Then one of Obi-Wan's comrades, so to speak, blows up something and there's this big fire thing again and they get away, right? I'm like, Darth Vader's suit is literally indestructible. He can be in the vacuum of space. Could my man
walk through
the fire?
No, but he totally did on purpose.
Why? He's been waiting for so long to get this guy.
Because, like, you see him, he's literally watching him getting taken away and he's just like, not now.
I don't know. I feel like they have to address that more. Whether that was a little Anakin in there wanting him to escape or whether or not he was just toying with
I think it was a toying thing of like, I'll let you suffer a little bit more sort of thing.
I don't know.
Because that was too, like they purposely held the shot on Vader's face just like.
The thing is like, I just feel like it's out of character. Like he's been waiting for this, like out of anybody. He's been waiting for this. Like he would not let that man go. He's not going to wait another 10 years to find him. You know what I mean?
I think some people, because I've been reading through on the Reddit's different theories, and it's like, I think some people were like, Vader was almost disappointed with how like shitty Obi-Wan was. And it's like, this is not...
Well, it's not as sweet as he wanted it, because he wants to actually beat him on merit, I feel like, just to prove a point. And
stronger so I can beat you later.
But it's also like, yo, I'm going to be really mad if he just goes to like one star system, hears Liam Neeson's voice say, use the force, Obi-Wan, and he nuts a little bit. Like, you know, just a little bit, just a little pre-cum. And then he comes back and fights Vader again, inevitably, and then beats him. Because that's what's going to happen. Because in episode 4, Darth Vader's like, when we last met, I was once the pupil, but now I am the master, you know? And obviously...
Yeah, people have been playing about that too.
He just got wrecked! So there's no way. He was the master there. He was his daddy, from what I can see. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things, like...
There's gotta be another
but the, I mean, because obviously, Third Sister is what I'm gonna call her.
Reva.
Yeah, I'm gonna call her Third Sister. Okay. Because the Inquisitors aren't supposed to have names.
All right.
Well, they do, but they're not supposed to, like, say it to each other, you know, whatever. Whatever. Fuck you. Whatever. Anyway. I don't know. They have her, so obviously he has to go get her. It's just, like, how are they going to make him, you know?
That's also the bullshit. How the fuck did she get in front of Leia?
Yo, how did that lady survive? When she went back for Obi-Wan and Reva was in, I'm like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, because she literally, like, did a fast travel to the end of the tunnel. And
She did a teleport. She used an escape rope. 100%. So there's some grievances that I have. Like, there's some little nuances and, like, some things that, like, don't make sense. But overall, it's cool.
I still don't like the Inquisitor's design.
There's when you talk about Star Wars and humor, the only time I ever laugh in Star Wars is with Han Solo. Literally, any other joke that's ever been done in Star Wars, I'm just like,
well, in terms of live action stuff, yeah.
I feel like, because Han is funny. Han is, like, just the smart ass. He's perfect. Like, I love you and I know are those are funny lines.
You just have a Harrison Ford hard on.
I do. I love Harrison Ford is one of the best, like, movie stars that we've ever had, I think. He's so good.
I think the droids make me laugh the most.
But, like, I don't know. I just, they're sometimes too theatrical for me. Like, Han is just like Bill Murray. Like, he's just like a straight, sarcastic asshole. And he's just the perfect interjection to everyone's seriousness. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm thinking in terms of Clone Wars, there's Hondo. Hondo's the great.
Oh, Hondo is pretty good. I do like him.
This venture is no longer profitable. but, yeah, I get humor is a. Humor is a dicey thing.
I think humor and George Lucas are not two things that go together. Sorry.
Well, they don't go together on purpose.
George Pucas.
George Pucas.
I hate sand. It's rough and coarse. And
you know, everywhere. I watched a good video on that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it today, but if we ever talk about stories again or want to go into a deep dive on stuff like that, it's about like why that line or that kind of thing makes sense. But like,
I know what you're talking about.
But like, no. It's listen, it makes sense, but the delivery or the
delivery
writing
is still
is not good. Yeah.
It's not like
something makes
poetry.
Sense doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are illogical where you're like, fuck this shit.
Yeah. That's. So far I am enjoying Obi-Wan. However, I said that last time about Boba Fett. So I'm going to be cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
Cautiously optimistic.
We'll see. Maybe Mandalorian season 2.7 will show up somewhere. Mandalorian. In the last two episodes.
How are you alive right now?
Maybe we'll see a little Grogu cameo.
Do you think we're going to see... Okay, I'm going to ask you now. Do you think we're going to see a Clone Wars flashback with Hayden Christensen?
I feel like if we don't, then I'm boycotting the series. Like, they can't bring him back just to look pudgy like that. And yeah. That one little shot of him in, like, from a distance in a cloak. They can't do that to us.
Right.
They have to put him in the Clone Wars armor. I can't wait till Ahsoka to see my mans come back. Yeah, I know. That's my favorite character. I love that they brought Hayden Christensen back. That's like my Harrison Ford right now. It's for Star Wars purposes.
Nick's like... Okay. Okay.
All right, I'm going to exit now.
That's what you grew up with. I just... Hayden Christensen is,
I mean, I don't think he's like Harrison Ford level of acting or anything.
I like Jumper.
Jumper was fun.
Jumper's actually good.
It's a good film.
Jumper's a good movie.
Yeah.
He's fine in it.
Mace Windu got his revenge, kind of.
I can't think of any other movie that he's in, though.
He's in this movie with T.I. about a bank robbery.
Nice.
But I think too well. I think like Star Wars really fucked
Maybe
him.
Maybe he actually got more money from that than he did Star
Probably.
Wars.
I mean, Star Wars fucked him for roles and different things like that because I feel like everyone hated him in it, even though I don't think it was his fault. Like, I think
no,
it was
George
just
Lucas's fault. Clearly,
yeah.
For
that kind of killed. That kind of low key killed his
career.
He certainly
didn't get as fucked as the kid version of him.
Oh, well, we're not going to talk about that today.
He didn't. That poor kid.
I want to make the movies as they were originally intended in 3D with extra shit in them that I didn't really care about just to make more money.
Misa think this is shit.
Do you remember the South Park thing about Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull? Like Steven Spielberg comes out and he does a public apology. He goes, I'm so sorry about Crystal Skull. And he's like holding a bowl full of money. Yeah. And then George Lucas gets up and he's at a bowl of money. And he goes, I'm not sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's literally what it feels like. It just feels like Steven's like, you know what? I did this for George. And George is like, fuck you guys. And then he's like, he's got the balls to call Disney slave owners when he's like,
I mean,
a billionaire.
He's not wrong, like, but
this is my problem with that. It's like the pot calling the kettle black. It's just like, you don't get to criticize people making money. I'm sorry. You made so much off the name Android, okay?
That's
so
true,
shut up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I sell Star Wars so I can make, you know, smaller personal films. When was the last George Lucas movie? Revenge of the fucking Sith, okay? You're gonna fucking tell me I'm gonna make these small per. When is your? It's been 22 years.
That also,
George.
That also blew my mind. Episode one for the like previously on Star Wars, it was like episode three footage. I was like, wait, that's like Disney. How dare you quote at me when I was there when it was written?
How dare you make me recap?
Revenge of the Sith, like, what the fuck?
That shit's crazy.
Ridiculous bullshit.
Right. Speaking of hard-ons for people, Michael, you have a hard-on for a certain YouTuber.
You're an asshole.
Hello, everybody. My name is Markiplier.
Yeah. So, Nick might actually have an interest in this. So, you know Markiplier, right? So, Markiplier... has these series on YouTube, and they're kind of like these choose your own adventure things. We previously talked about part one of this. This is In Space with Markiplier. And part two came out during May, and I watched through it, went off through all the different endings and stuff, and wow. Like, it is, I did not expect a little series called In Space with Markiplier, starring Markiplier, make me get feels.
Feel emotionally?
Yeah. Like, people don't really give Mark credit because he's like the haha goofy YouTuber like who makes a loud noises, but like his acting game has gotten pretty good.
Do you have a trailer or anything?
I can go get one. Hang on.
Just get the She-Hulk tab out of here.
Yeah, get this trash out of here.
I feel like he's got the, I don't know, he might end up like Bo Burnham.
Maybe.
Because like, Bo is very talented, but nobody took him seriously for the longest time because he was just making videos on the internet. Then he started selling out, you know, stadiums. And then he started making movies. And then inside, Bo Burnham is probably, I think, is one of the best movies last year.
Wasn't it the second vid?
Those are the actual series. I was going to get the trailer just so we have a little more going on. And this is a YouTube originals, the last one of the YouTube originals, because I think that program's getting shut down. And like also production, like look at this.
it's YouTube. Good quality.
And so the gist is for the series is that like you are the captain, you yourself, the viewer, are the captain of this ship, and
you're the hardcore Henry of the ship.
Yes, exactly. And like something goes wrong. And then there's also like some time loop situations happening and you have to figure out how to stop it, sort of thing.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah, it's really like Mark put his like blood, sweat, and tears in this, and it really shows. And like this is the trailer for part one, but like I think part two is even better. And it's, I cannot give enough praise. Like, even if you're not like a huge fan of Mark, like it's so well done.
No, it seems very fun. And involving. That's the other word. Involving. Like you're in the seat, basically.
Yeah. And I'm like, I talked about this last time when we were talking about when part one came out, but it's like you don't see other YouTubers doing this sort of thing. Like this level of production. Like you have Corda crew who kind of do like film stuff, but they don't have like things this big.
Well, they don't have the budget for it.
They don't have the budget. Yeah, they're not as popular. Yeah. No, totally. And that doesn't mean any budget. And honestly, in my opinion, doesn't mean anything, but it looks really cool.
Yeah. It was a fun time. And, again, I did not expect a series called In Space with Markiplier to give me like, Oh damn. Like,
well, if you have a connection with him, I bet there's already a connection.
But it's like there's a connection not because it's Markiplier, because you cared about the Mark character.
I understand what you're saying 100%. Yeah. And I mean that too. I just mean like if you're a fan, it's like going, that's why I feel like people really like No Way Home is because it's already emotionally charged because you're having all these nostalgic feelings for the old Spider-Mans.
Yeah.
But you're also having, it's the end of the series, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
So, feels more like a beginning.
Of an end. With a new beginning. I'm sorry, this is every Marvel movie ever.
Oh my God.
It ends so it begins.
The end is never, the end is never.
Gotcha.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.